I've just been writing down a bunch of random Pirates topics, Doran, over here. We've been talking about potential training camp plans, some guests as we get closer to Steelers season. I've also been jotting down some Buccos topics. I think we got a bunch of them that we can get through over the course of the next hour. And we'll get into the Steelers quarterbacks at the end of the hour as we preview their offense just a day before the team reports to St. Vincent College in Latrobe. First of all, I can't believe we're there. And I'm so happy that they are there and we are there. And now the Pirates are still in contention. Meanwhile, Callis is putting together a promo in the next room of me getting scared by Bubba. And we can't tell whether it's the sound of the goat screaming or the sound of me screaming. But all we just hear screaming, incessant screaming beyond the glass. So that's not distracting at all. Callis, thank you for that. Really, really easy to focus here when you got... coming in the next room. You can tweet us, brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. You can text us, brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say, there's never a fee unless we get money for you. So, like a week and a half ago, I said, if the Pirates wanted to move on from Aroldis Chapman and get a massive package in return, I would be okay with it so long as they were selling him and buying in another realm. Because you'd be getting the prorated $10.5 million off your books. I'll tell you what, I can't do it now.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot move on from Aroldis Chapman. His last few performances have been really good. His last two have been stellar.
Yes.
I think his last two performances, that's the guy that when you gave him $10.5 million, that you thought you were giving $10.5 million.
Yep.
He's going 100 at the knees. He's going 103. The breaking stuff was perfect. When he's around the plate, he's darn near unhittable. His problem has been he has not been around the plate enough. There's another guy that I said I would trade. And now I don't want to trade him either. And that's Luis Ortiz. When I said they should at least consider moving on from Ortiz, I thought it was a lightning in the bottle thing. Sell high. He's got great stuff. He's definitely somebody that other teams would be interested in. Well, now it's been three consecutive stellar starts, and I don't want to move on from that guy.
Mm-mm.
I think he can be a part of this thing. Like, when we talk about this window with Skeens and Jones and Keller, I think you can maybe add Luis Ortiz in. Luis Ortiz has pitched more innings for the Pirates this year than has Paul Skeens, and he hasn't been as good as Skeens, but he's been very, very good.
Yes.
So I'm not moving on from either of those guys. And I'm definitely not moving on from Chapman, who I think was much more likely of a trade candidate before.
So basically, the pitchers, all pitchers are off the board for you.
On the Major League club, I would consider moving on from Martin Perez, but who's going to give up anything for him? And if you moved on from Marco Gonzalez, I don't think that would be the worst thing. And I think he could be sought after, because Bailey Falter should be back in short order, and you're going to get Jared Jones back by late August, at the latest, you would think. And then Quinn Priester, I think, can fold into this thing nicely.
Mm-hmm.
So if you moved on from either of the veterans, I don't think that would hurt that much. Who on the roster would you part from? It's not just starters, but just overall.
I mean, Henry Davis, for sure.
Yep.
If he counts, okay. Jack Sawinski. Ke'Bryan Hayes, if I could get something. And maybe...
I mean, when you talk about value, who you'd be willing to part with, that's probably the list.
Maybe Connor Joe, if there's any value there.
Yeah. If someone would want just a vet bat.
Just a versatile player.
Yeah. Absolutely not an untouchable guy.
Right.
Jared Triolo, I don't think they'd have any value, but I did ask the question. Ke'Bryan Hayes, for sure. Henry Davis, all of a sudden, is very expendable.
Mm-hmm. I mean, Michael A. Taylor.
Yeah. I love Michael A. Taylor if you find somebody to play over him. Like, if Michael A. Taylor is a pinch runner.
Yeah, very good.
That double steal, man, to me was one of the great moments of the season because it set up maybe the great moment of the season. And it was ballsy, and it showed a side of Derek Shelton I didn't know we had. But it doesn't happen if Michael A. Taylor doesn't get a good jump, have the perfect slide, and get in there. I can't believe they didn't challenge it, first of all. What are they doing? But hell of a play by him. If he's a pinch runner, if he's a late-inning defensive replacement, And, you know, from time to time in the lineup against lefties, I think that's perfect for Michael A. Taylor.
Yeah.
He could have some value for that for somebody else, but I wouldn't mind him being my 26th guy on the roster. If I could find a taker for Key Brian Hayes, I'm absolutely doing that.
Me too.
But Henry Davis is all of a sudden expendable. It's not like you've got a catcher who's now become your starter, and it's a guy that you think, he's just playing well now and doesn't have the legs. This is a guy that is as much a talent as Henry Davis. I mean, both guys top two picks. Both play the same position. Joey Bart has been at it longer. He seems to have figured it out. His resurgence in the shrewd move to pick him up by
right.
Ben Cherington,
right.
And knowing that Andy Rodriguez will be back next year, you would not be selling Henry at his highest value. No doubt about it. And I don't think he could be the principal player in a deal. But could he be a sweetener? Could he be that next piece that might push a deal over the top and one that you wouldn't miss because you're not trading him off your current roster? Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
I would not think twice about it. If Oakland says, and who knows, but if Oakland says, we want Anthony Salamedo, we want, I don't know, name a guy, and we want Henry Davis, I think I'd do it in a heartbeat. In a heartbeat. And I could see why he'd be sought after as a secondary piece of a deal. So I'd be willing to move on from him. If someone wanted Quinn Priester, again, when we have these conversations, people blow up the text line and they'll say, no one wants this guy XYZ. We're just talking about guys. This is a fun time of year. Guys that you would consider. And it's not like that long ago Quinn Priester wasn't sought after. So I do think, you know, those are all the guys I'd be willing to move. 412-928-9370. You want to weigh
you
in.
You added Sawinski in there too, right?
Yeah, I was holding out hope for a while. I loved Sawinski last year. I said he should have been an all-star. I mean, he had an 800-plus OPS. He was really good. But he just looks like a total lost cause.
Yeah.
Just a total lost cause. I mean, we are 100 games into the season, and he's hitting below 200. He's a total disaster. And every time you play him, he's almost an automatic out. Doesn't always give you productive outs, strikes out way too much, does not play a great defensive center field. We can go on.
Yeah.
Now, for all those reasons, he's probably not a guy that other teams would be lining up for. But again, as a sweetener, as a piece of a package, yeah, sure, he makes a lot of sense to me. What about you at 412-928-9370? So there's one Pirates topic. I got a bunch more written down, including, and we'll get into this next, if you'd like to, Doran.
Yes.
If you were setting a Pirates rotation today, assuming the health of Jared Jones and Bailey Falter, how would we pencil that one in? We'll get into that when we come back. You can weigh in at 412-928-9370. The Fan Morning Show is brought to you by Guardian Protection. What a surprise. What a great man. Austin Bechtold and Bruce Bobick. Bobick? Bobak. From Definitely You, the place that our guy Austin does cringeworthy videos to promote online. They heard about the grandma situation, big fans of the show, and I was going to buy a Paul Skeens player tee, and they have gifted me generously a Paul Skeens jersey.
That is awesome.
So thank you to Bruce, thank you so much to Austin, and I'm going to get emotional, but I'm very excited about this.
That fits you like a glove. It fits you perfectly.
I feel like I am a couple of beers or a sandwich or two away from the belly poking out through this thing.
You'll be all right.
But I am over the moon. I'm wearing a Paul Skeens jersey now on Skeens Day.
Love it.
So thanks to Bruce, thanks to Austin, and the Buccos are going to win tonight 13-0.
Austin's a good young man.
He is.
And so is Bruce.
Very nice, man. And Callis, you have got me nothing ever.
I show up and work with you every day.
You know what? That is tough. That is tough.
Yeah.
I haven't thought about legitimately buying a Pirates jersey, and I guess I still haven't, but I haven't thought about getting a Pirates jersey in a long time because we know how it goes. And when you're a
What's
fan
your last
of a
one?
Small market team, Kutch.
Kutch.
Which I lost. I have no idea where my Kutch jersey
you
is.
Lost
I
your
lost.
Jersey. How do you lose a jersey?
We moved. I don't know. And it got lost. So someone has it somewhere. Someone's probably wearing it around. Oh, where did we get this? I don't know. It's mine now. It was one black and the old Pirate P. And I guess I did get a Gerrit Cole jersey, but then I donated it after he wound up being a Yankee. But Paul Skeens has the potential to be an all-time great. And so even if he's only here for 5-6 years, I feel like you can wear a Skeens jersey forever because he could win the Cy Young this year, for God's sakes. And if you go down as one of the all-time greats, like, people still wear Bonds jerseys around here.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like it'll stand the test of time.
That's nice. You should get it signed.
Oh, I can't. That's unprofessional.
Is it?
Yeah, but I'm me.
Have your daughter get it signed.
There we go.
Yep, bang.
But then I wouldn't want to wear it. Can you wear it after it's signed, or you got to hang that bad boy up?
You got to hang it up.
Question, real quick.
Wait, yeah, I got a story.
Okay.
Neil Walker signed one of my baseball gloves once that I used, like, in games, and the signature wore off.
Well, now you are buddies with Neil. I'm sure Neil would be willing to sign something that you wouldn't use in a game.
I can't do that.
That's my kids, too. My kids have their gloves and their game jersey signed from the celebrity softball game.
Yes.
So, and
they're going to wear them.
Yeah, they wear them.
Because they wore whenever they were out there, like, shagging fly balls and stuff, mm-hmm. right?
So everybody signed them, and now that's what they wear during the games.
That is, you know what, though? There's such cachet for them. You just can't wash them.
No.
Which, who cares? Your kids. You're going to get dirt and mud all over your jersey anyhow.
Yeah.
Jack Wilson one time said, if he ever left a game and his jersey was clean, he knew he didn't play well that day. Like, he always wanted to leave a game and have dirt on his uniform, dive and slide and whatever.
Yep.
That meant that he played, or at least he gave his best effort in a game. I had a Jack Wilson signed batting glove. I still have it somewhere. I love Jack Wilson.
You do?
He hit a homer in a game, and as he was coming off the field, he threw up his glove, and I just so happened to be there. And I still have that bad boy someplace.
You think about him whenever you're having relations.
I do, as a way to prolong the relations.
Yes.
Yeah. You just start thinking about baseball.
Yeah.
And Jack Wilson always pops into my head.
Jack.
Mm-hmm.
Jack.
I wish that wasn't true, but it's true.
I know it is.
Now, I wanted the white. Did you like the black-on-black jerseys the other day?
Yes.
Okay. Kaus, did you like the black-on-black uniforms?
Absolutely. And the red sleeves were very nice touch.
Mm. I love that.
Mm-hmm.
O'Neal Cruz could not have looked cooler.
Because
he's got the red on the shoes, and then they've got the red on the sheets patch on the shoulder, and then he's got the long sleeve.
Does he have some red in his hair?
He might have the red beads. Yeah. He's got
something.
He's got the look. And he's coming on like an MVP, man. He had the big hit last night, the couple of big hits over the weekend against lefties. If he can be this version of O'Neal Cruz for the rest of the year, you got more than a puncher's chance. You got more than a puncher's chance. All right, hypothetically, I said I wanted to run this by you. And you can weigh into it, 412-928-9370 on the text line, on Twitter, what have you. If the Pirates are playing a postseason series tomorrow, I feel like we're all going with Skeens game one. And Mitch Keller game two. Assuming in this hypothetical, you've got Jared Jones, Bailey Falter, Luis Ortiz, Marco Gonzalez, all available to you. Quinn Priest or Marti Perez. Sure, let's throw everybody in there. Who gets the ball game three?
And Jones is healthy?
Yes.
Jones.
You're still going Jones over Luis Ortiz.
Mm-hmm. But it's not like it's a... I mean, it's a harder decision.
Yes.
Than... Because I just said I would trade Jones because I feel comfortable with Luis Ortiz being my third guy.
Right, but that doesn't mean that you think he's better than Jones.
Right,
just that Jones would fetch probably a king's ransom in your mind.
Exactly.
Yeah, I think I would go with Jones too. I am not underselling what Luis Ortiz has meant to this team. He has pitched more innings than Paul Skeens. He has a 2.57 ERA, which is second lowest on the team. The reason I would go with Jones over Ortiz in a playoff series, and I'd like to pitch both, is because Jared Jones misses more bats. And if I'm more of a pitch-to-contact guy, I don't love that as much in the postseason.
If we're talking, say, the postseason starts the day Jared Jones is activated, that's a different story.
Yeah, I'm saying...
I'm riding a wave of Ortiz and his momentum, and he'd be my third guy. And then I'd let Jared Jones be the fourth-ish guy.
Well, let's play it this way then. If you're, because I get what you're saying there too. Like, how could you not give the ball to Luis Ortiz right now?
And Jared Jones has been out for 2 months.
Right. But let's say Jones comes back in August. You qualify for the postseason. You've got however you could and would want to line it up. We're both in agreement. We're going Skeens, Keller, Jones.
Yes.
Ortiz, probably.
Yes.
Then. And Bailey Falter as your first guy out of the pen, I feel really good about that in a long relief situation. I feel pretty good about Marco Gonzalez in that role. Or Quinn Priester in that role. But isn't it wild that I remember not that long ago, before Skeens got called up, we were saying stuff into the microphone like, given the start that Jones had to his big league career, you gotta just understand when Skeens comes up, he's probably not going to do what Jared Jones did.
And bang.
And then he's been like the best pitcher, the best rookie pitcher in Major League Baseball history. They have such a shot here, man, to do something special. And Luis Ortiz, like we're having a conversation about a guy with a sub-2.5 ERA, and do we really even feel comfortable starting him as the third guy, or do we go with the other phenom, Jared Jones?
We're having a conversation about the Pirates potentially making the playoffs.
The day before the Steelers report to training camp, it's a great thing. All right, so I said I wrote down a million different Pirates topics. Actually, Kalis, we didn't get your thoughts. You'd start Ortiz, or would you start Jones?
Jared Jones.
Oh, why?
I think that he's already set a precedent that he can win you a game in the playoffs like that.
The Orioles, he missed a lot of bats.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no, he gave up a couple home runs in that game.
Yeah, he also struck out eight,
seven.
I want to say
seven.
Okay. All right, so you don't.
I remember that because that's the series I gave my opinion
on. I'm not interested in those semantics, Kalis, but you just said you would start him. And now you're saying he sucks because
you're not
going to
start
him
against the Orioles. You're going to start him in the first round against a weaker team.
Okay.
All right. And we'll see how he does.
This is what happens when I invite Kalis into the conversation.
Yeah, of course.
All right. Here's another topic I wrote down and I want your thoughts on. And a lot of people agree with us on the text line and say that they would go, when all things being equal, everyone healthy, that they'd go with Jared Jones. If we were to assign or name, I should say, a Pirates MVP through 100 games, and we're not allowed to go with Skeens, we're not allowed to go with Brian Reynolds, who would we go with?
Gonzalez.
Would you just wait a second? We're going to do it next.
Oh, you didn't say that.
Come on, Crowley. The question.
All right, so Doran has named Nick Gonzalez the third MVP of the Pirates. Who do we got?
I could pick a different person, too.
No, you're going with Gonzalez.
I could pick a different person.
We'll Crowley debate.
We'll debate. I'm going with Luis Ortiz. Bang, segment there over. Show's over. Let's there talk Steelers.
Cuts.
Getting a root canal next week, big guy?
Yeah. Old football injury. It's just been bothering me for years.
Wait, a football injury?
Yeah, you know about the time whenever we were playing NC State in college, Russell Wilson, I tried to catch a pass at the end of the game in the end zone and knocked my teeth out.
Yeah, but then you got all new teeth.
Yeah, but like the
and they look good.
The nerves, like in the gums, have all like died.
So when you told me earlier that you were having pain, it's not tooth pain. It's like gum nerve pain.
Nerve pain, yes.
Oh, jeez, yeah, God.
And it comes and goes. So like I've always put it off, but like now it's just, it's like, all right, this was, what, 15 years ago. Like it's time to go. It's time to get.
So you've just been living with that pain the whole time?
Yeah.
What the hell? Yeah. And now it's just become too much.
Right.
Oh, my God.
Right.
The two best words in sports they say are game seven. I think as you start to get older, the two most feared words are root canal.
Yes, thanks.
Yeah. My mom got one last week. Terrible. Bad week for
her,
by the way. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. She said it was terrible?
Terrible.
What do you mean it was terrible?
It was awful. She was in a ton of pain.
What?
Yeah. And my wife just got two done recently.
What'd she say?
Awful.
Are you being serious?
I'm totally serious.
Oh, see, now I can't do it.
It's just terrible.
I'd rather just live with it.
Now, Ron Cook always said that it was no big deal. But Starkey was complaining about a root canal not that long ago.
Oh, my God.
But none of these people, like my mom, didn't play in the NFL. She had suffered very few injuries in her life. My wife lived a charmed life. You're used to surgery. You're used to pain. You'll be fine. Totally fine. If I got a root canal, I'd be off for a month and a half.
Oh, my goodness.
Just do it. Do it on a Friday after the show. I don't want to be without you anymore, big guy.
Mm-hmm. Gosh.
You are actually nervous about it,
though. Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Really nervous. I'm not. Yes. I'm not looking. I'm counting down the minutes until next week.
You know what they had to do for my mom?
No. I don't want to know.
They gave her 20 Novocaine shots.
20?
She got like 20 shots.
No, she didn't.
She did.
You're just making this up.
Now. No, seriously.
Because this is your moment that you can actually get me.
And you're taking full advantage.
Well, you're afraid of something, and that might be too strong, but you're apprehensive about something for the first time in our
relationship. So you're messing around.
Now, I'm giving you it straight, but
20 shots?
Yeah.
There's no way.
They did. I'll text her. They did. They
were
they were trying to find the sweet spot. Trying to numb her up because they didn't give her enough. They're like, does this hurt? Yes. Does this hurt? Yes. Yeah. I hate that too with the numb. Oh, God. Mm-mm. Nah. You probably thought you were done with all that. You get the new digits in there.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Sorry
about
that.
I'm starting to sweat.
You actually are starting to sweat. Terrible thing, Blue Canal.
I don't feel good.
All right, so who's your Pirates MVP through 100 games if we can't go Keller, if we can't go Jones, or if we can't go Keller, excuse me, can't go Skeens, and we can't go Brian Reynolds?
Nick Gonzalez.
Yeah.
We said to start the show, too. You know, he got called up basically the day before. Skeens got called up, basically arrived at the same time, and obviously the Skeens hype was going to overshadow him, but he has really kept this team afloat a lot of times, and he's had game winners. He's just, you know, he's been consistent. I dropped off a little bit about a couple weeks ago, but he found it again. He's been fantastic. Was up last year, didn't look like he was ready, but everything that I hear about him, he is just a smart baseball player and very intelligent baseball mind, and that obviously shows in his games. And he's not scared to get aggressive either. Like, whenever he's at the plate, like, if it's in the vicinity, he's
for
taking
sure.
a swing at it. He's taking a whack at it. And that aids his game very well. He's been fantastic, and he's been fantastic in the field, too.
He has been, and he has been the antithesis to what had been a problem for the Pirates for a long time, which is they've been far too passive at the plate. And a ton of called strike threes. He goes up there hunting. He's up there hunting for his pitch. If it's near the strike zone, he's letting fly, which I think is actually a departure of what he did last year at the big league level. He's hitting .263 overall, but he's hitting .293 with runners in scoring position. In wins, he's hitting .300. In losses, he's hitting .213. You can draw a direct line. When Nick Gonzalez hits as like the third guy behind Reynolds and O'Neill Cruz, they win baseball games.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't disagree with any of that. And they've been seven games over .500, like you said, since he's been called up. I'll go with Luis Ortiz. The Pirates went 3-1 with him as part of the equation as an opener. And then Jared Jones, he gets hurt. He's not in the rotation. And next thing you know, he's taken over for Jared Jones.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you have not missed Jared Jones because he stepped into the role and has been outstanding. So I think those are probably the two guys. I'm more inclined to go with you on Gonzalez, but that doesn't make for great conversation. And Callis wanted to nominate Rowdy Big Old Man Tellez.
Oh, you want to know why? Well, yeah, because he struggled through the first part of the year, but then he turned it around and he's been a giant run producer for this team, and I think him in the lineup makes him makes the lineup more feared and you know, just makes him better all the way around.
Doran, you're not on the text line, right?
No.
Man, good thing. A lot of people with their root canal nightmare stories. Including a text I just got from my uncle saying, you better block off half a week. You're not going to be able to work.
Half a week?
You're going to be in so much pain, yeah. We've been previewing the Steelers' offense position by position. We'll end the show with taking a look at quarterback coming up next. Our thoughts on Kyle Allen when we return. Social media's biggest loser is brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Reserve your consultation today at awaken180weightloss.com. All the people saying Doran's going to have a terrible time with his root canal, you are all social media's biggest loser. There's no reason to be scaring Doran over here. Okay, he's going to be fine. He's going to be A-okay.
I'm really not feeling good.
I know you're not. I've really never seen you like
this. And I'm serious because I've been talking to you throughout the whole break.
Like, you're like, no, wait, look. So what'd your mom say? What'd your wife say? Oh, your cousin said this? What about the text line? What are they saying on there?
Oh,
you'll be fine.
Oh, no.
He says because it's not his own mouth. I've only ever had one cavity. I have yellow teeth, and my bottom teeth are a little, you know, crooked, but I've only had one cavity.
Good for you.
Mm-hmm. 50-minute mark on the Fan brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Route 19 in Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. So we've been breaking down the Steelers' offense position by position, and we have now landed on quarterback. And I have a couple of questions for you about the quarterback position, Doran. One, if Russell Wilson does not get hurt this year, will we see Justin Fields take snaps for the Steelers?
Yes.
Gadget guy?
Yes.
What might that look like in your mind?
Not Taysom Hill, but in a form where, I mean, maybe in the red zone, maybe on third downs, maybe he is playing running back. And he takes
running back,
but he takes direct snaps.
Okay. So like a modified Wildcat kind of deal.
Yes. So yes, you will see him take snaps.
Do you think if Russell Wilson goes wire to wire, that he can put up a similar stat line to last year's Russell Wilson?
No doubt.
Over under 26 touchdowns.
Under.
Over under 8 picks.
Over, slightly.
So similar but slightly worse numbers this year.
Yes.
He's going to fly by 3,000 passing yards.
Yes.
Which is what he had last season with the Broncos. That one under-discussed thing about Russ is the lack of interceptions. I know he took a lot of sacks, and that's just who he's always been. But he does not throw interceptions. He threw 11 in 2022, 6 before that, 5 in 2019, 7 in 2018. I mean, he very rarely threw double-digit picks in his career. In fact, just 4 times that happened.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been a dozen years in the NFL for Russell Wilson. Over under 350 rushing yards for Russell Wilson.
Over.
And last thing here for you on Russell Wilson, Doran. Will he receive MVP votes?
Wow, no.
I don't think so either.
No.
Ben never did. That's why I threw that in there.
No.
I'm really looking forward to seeing Russell Wilson. Could not be less excited to see him in the preseason, though.
Yep. It's like, going to take for what it is.
Yeah, it's not going to do anything for me. With Kenny, the first year, it was, what do you got in this guy? Year two, what improvements are you going to see from Kenny? And then we saw significant improvements, and it didn't matter at all in the regular season. I'm not going to do the thing I did last year, especially with quarterback. If Justin Fields tears it up, if Russell Wilson tears it up, I'm basically going to forget it. Though I will say, if I have to put stock in one over the other, if Justin Fields performs well in the preseason, I think that would, I could at least take that as a positive, I guess, is what I'm trying to say.
There's only 3 guys that I am paying attention to in the preseason.
Ooh, I like this.
Faltanu, Zach Brazier, and Peyton Wilson.
I think Peyton Wilson might wind up being the preseason MVP.
Mm-hmm. 3 guys.
We'll get into the defense more on tomorrow's program. We got Doug Whaley from 9 o'clock until 10. We've got Ray Fittipaldo at 8 o'clock. John Wehner at 8:35. Coming up next, it's the Joe Starkey Show. But first, fan weather. Brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. It's the Chevy Summer Drive at Sun Chevrolet. Up to $7,500 in rebates. Terms and conditions at sunchevy.com. Today, high 85, low 63.